Tag title for this message, Trusting What God Said. Amen. Amen. We must trust what God said. We do part of it and then we decide to do something else. We do our own little thing. But he said he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook that is before Jordan. Now, there may have been some better places for him to dwell. He wasn't even in a house by the brook. He wasn't even in a shelter. But the Lord took care of him. Now, we would have been complaining and feeling sorry for ourselves because I ain't got nowhere to lay my head. I'm out here in the dark. But that's okay. God puts the stars in the sky. And look, you really don't need this shelter because it ain't going to rain no way. All right. Put him by the brook. Verse 6 says, and the ravens did what God said he was, what they were going to do. Brought bread and flesh in the what? Morning. And bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank as much as he wanted. It's amazing how God said, look, I'm going to give you bread and flesh. And I'm going to give you breakfast and dinner. Every day. By an unlikely source. Let that unlikely source be your blessing. And he drank from the brook. And it came to pass after a while, the brook what? Because there had been no rain. You got to know that sometimes the thing that you rely on God is not going to allow it to help you. The brook dried up. And he stayed by the brook until it what? See, some of us would say, oh, this thing about dry, but let's go find somewhere else. We would have got ahead of God. Oh, I'm just preparing myself. No, God says, stay here until it's all gone. Until you get all that you're going to get out of it, then you can move. He stayed by the brook and it dried up because there had been no rain. Now, what would we have done if the brook had dried up on us? God, I thought you said you were going to sustain me. God, I thought you said, and we don't know that God already has a plan. Amen. Let the brook dry up and trust what he said. If he said he'll get you through this famine, if he said he'll get you through this drought, you need to know that God will get you through it. God will not take you to what he can't get you through. Somebody tell your neighbor, God will not take you to what he can't get you through. We need to know that God is always working on our side. He's always looking to preserve us. He's always looking to keep us and to bless us. And we need to let him do it without belly aching and complaining to God that the brook dried up. What about the fact that he hid you by the brook when everybody else didn't have water? He had given you water. How about he had the raven to feed you bread and meat when nobody else had a sandwich? You had a Subway. Oh, Lord, have mercy. In the midst of your family. God did all of that, but instead we will stop to complain when it runs out. I'm not going to complain that it ran out. I'm going to praise God that it lasted as long as it did. I'm going to praise God that he made a way where there seemed to be no way. I'm going to praise God that he blessed me from an unlikely source. So I'm not, God, you ain't done nothing wrong to me. I know you're all right. I know you've been good. Come on and shout yes in here. Oh yeah, we got to know that sooner or later the brook will dry up. Oh yeah, all good things come to an end. But that's all right. The Bible says that we're going to have some things happen like this. And when things happen, we still got to what? Trust in the Lord. We have to trust. And all Elijah had was, God, you said it. That's it. All he had, he didn't have a promissory note. He didn't have some other prophet come to him in the wilderness and say, thus saith the Lord. He didn't have anybody tell him anything. What if nobody prophesied to you? What if there ain't nobody for you to talk to? What if, and you know how we get mad with people because there ain't nobody to talk to. Ain't nobody encouraged us. Ain't nobody looked around to see if we needed anything. So what? God know what you need. And by the way, God is the source of your supply, not me. Oh yeah, he's the source of your strength. He's the strength of your life, not me. And since I'm not the strength, I'm not the source, and I'm not the supply, you can't get mad with me. You don't get mad when your electricity is off. You don't get mad with the socket. You start talking about SWEPCO. You start talking about the city of Nat, because they are the what? Source. Come on and say amen. So don't get mad with me. I'm just the conduit. You can plug in and get something, but I'm not the source. I wish I had somebody in here. Preaching better than y'all saying amen. Not only does God make a promise, but God preserves us. He preserves us from, not only protect us from the enemy, because he hid him out and they couldn't find him. Now, you know that was one of the few sources of water in that day. Somebody should have been looking for that hole that he was drinking out of. Somebody should have been looking for that ravine that he was drinking out of. But nobody found it, because God had preserved the place just for him. All I'm trying to tell you is that God has a place preserved just for you. And you keep worried about who going to drink your water. Ain't nobody going to drink your water, because God has it just for you. Amen. Y'all stay with me here. So God will preserve you and protect you from the enemy. God put him in a place that the enemy couldn't find him. The enemy thought he might have died in the famine. The enemy probably thought that he didn't make it through the famine. But all of a sudden, he pops up somewhere after the famine. I wish I had somebody. We need to see this. Sometimes your enemy think it's all over for you, that you ain't going to make it. But God just got you in a hiding place. Oh, yeah, God, you want them to see that, oh, yeah, I'm doing good. But don't worry about showing them that you're doing good. Just let them know. That God will provide. Amen. And I'm going to stay right here, because God says stay right here. Amen. Tell somebody stay right here. Stay, don't you move, because God says stay right here. And so God will preserve you. God will keep you in the place that he wants you to be kept. And it says after a while, he says that the brook dried up, right? And after the brook dried up, now it says that the brook dried up, but now it didn't say the raven stopped feeding him. Did it? But God told him to move anyway. Listen, look at what God did. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise. Now he stayed put, but God had to tell him to move. Some of us, we let people tell us. We let people tell us when we need to do something. But your relationship with God should be enough to where you know the promptings of God. You need to know when God is saying move, when he's saying stay. You need to know when God is saying go. That's what the Bible says in Romans 12. He said, present our bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our what? It's our reason. It's the least we can do. So that we may, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your. See, our minds ain't right. That's why we can't hear God. Our minds are not right. That's why we don't know what the will of God is. He said, by the renewing of your mind, that you may know that good and that pleasant and that perfect will of God. Amen. So we need to know the will of God, but we can't know the will if our mind all messed up. That's why you need to watch who you let in your mind. Preach. You got all these people in your mind telling you something. You got everybody talking to you, and you hearing all these voices in your mind. Not only that, you hear now God is speaking, but then you got the devil speaking. Then you got your own heart speaking, and then you got 12 people that you call friends, but when, oh, come on and say amen. But when things are low, they ain't really your friends. They're your frenemies. Preaching here. And so we got to get all them out of our mind. And we got all kind of music going through our mind, because we're playing the blues when we're down. We playing our favorite song. We got all this other stuff going. You need to clear your mind and let your mind be renewed. A brand new mind. You know what a brand new means? A renewing mean? That mean ain't got nothing in it. It's all new, right? If I get a new car, a new something, that mean ain't nobody else in it. Don't belong to nobody else. But when I get it, it's mine now. We need to renew our mind. Make our mind brand new by cleaning it with the word of God. Refreshing our mind. We need, oh, come on and say amen. You know how sometimes your computer, your phone act up and you say, oh, I got to turn this thing off because I can't be missing my call. What are you doing? You turn it off, you're refreshing it. And when it starts to refresh, it starts to upload again and start to work properly. Sometimes your mind is just like your phone. It got too many apps open, too many things working. It's so slow. You 150 now. Come on and say, man, we too slow, and sometimes we need to have a refreshing and let our mind start over again, and we need to start it over with the word of the Lord. Come on and say, man, now. We need to start it over with the word of God. Says we need to start. Tell somebody, start it over. Reboot your mind. by the renewing of our mind. And so Elijah, he was sitting there at the brook after it dried up, and he didn't move because he knew God. If God dried this brook up, it's something else about to happen. You need to stay right there. And if God dried it up, you need to say, God, I know something else about to happen because you did this by a miracle. And I know you're capable. You know God specializes in things that seems impossible. Do you know that? God can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or think. Do you know that? We need to know it. Amen. So he says now in verse number 8, he says, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, he went from a raven to a poor widow woman. Now, to be a widow in that day was equivalent with being a poor person because a widow didn't have a man to take care of her. And so she had to beg for what she needed. Amen. Amen. She had, if she didn't have strong older sons to take care of her, she had to wait on handouts. Oh, y'all don't hear me now. So he says, go to Zarephath, and I've told a widow woman to sustain you. And so that just doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right because we read about Elisha, how he went and there was a widow woman who had her sons that were about to be taken by creditors because her husband had died and they owed money and they were going to become slaves to pay off the debt. So we know that widows don't have much. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the reason why they took up the offerings that they did is so that they can send back money to the church at Jerusalem because there had been so many widows that they needed to take care of them. And the only reason they decided to ordain deacons was so that the deacons can take care of the widows by offering them money and taking care of their needs. I wish I had somebody. So, and then James turns around and tells us that true religion is when we take care of the widow and the orphan. Y'all hear me here? And so that is, a widow being a widow is equivalent with having nothing. Amen. And so he said to him, he said that there's a widow woman. In that day, they had nothing. That's, I have commanded to take care of you. Now, the one thing that I kept thinking about when I was reading this is that God never spoke. You never read what God spoke to the widow or the ravens. And they had to say, okay, yes, sir, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the woman was unaware that she was chosen to do it. Sometimes God will have people unaware that they're chosen to be a blessing. And see, you've been withholding stuff that God has chosen you to be a blessing with. All right. Let's read it because y'all looking at me strange. He says, and in verse 10, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. He obeyed again. How many know that obedience is important? 99% obedience is 100% disobedience. Let me say that again. 99% obedience is 100% disobedience. Why? Because you didn't fully obey. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. What are you sacrificing for that 1% disobedience you got in you? All right. Make you think about that. Selah. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman gathering sticks. Now, here it is. He shows up, and God, you know, we would have said coincidentally, because that's how our minds work. But in Hebrew, there is no word for coincidence. Everything happens because God intends for it to happen. He tells him to go to Zarephath, and as soon as he get there, imagine this, Elijah is thirsty now because he hadn't had anything to drink because the brook is dried up. And I know he's thirsty because if you read the text, he asked the woman first for some water. Yes. And God knew he was thirsty, so God allowed him to meet her right off the jump. Yes. He didn't have to go looking. He met her right off the bat as soon as he got to town. Y'all don't hear me now. And so God, what I'm trying to point out here, God knows what you need in the time that you need it. So why worry about what God is doing? We worry about whether God is going to or not. We know God is and he will. All right, let me go on. He says that he went and he met the woman. He saw the woman and he says to the woman, she was gathering some stick. He says, fetch me a little water in a vessel so I can drink. That's how I know he was thirsty. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now, how is it that Elijah knew the woman had anything? Because he knew that this is the widow that God had put, who said that he was going to use to sustain me. So she was on her way to get the water, and then he asked for something more. Now, this woman could have did like all the rest of us do. She could have got mad and said, he know it's a famine. I ain't got much. And he asked me for some water, which I'm going to get it. But now he won't eat. He want more. You know how people ask you for one thing and then they ask you for something more before you can give them all what you know, and you get mad. Now, what they think I got? I'm just a widow. Amen. This is what this woman could have said. But because she had to be God-fearing, she went ahead and done what she was supposed to do. Amen. Sometimes it's best not to say a word. Oh, it's best not to complain. Just go do what the man of God, or what God himself, that's what Elijah named mean. God is, Jehovah is God. And what he represented was God in the earth. And so she had to do what the man of God asked her to do, because it was obedience that she was trying to fulfill. So she went to go get him the water. And while she went to go get the water, he asked for some bread. Verse 12. And she said, as the Lord lives, I have not a cake. All I got is a meal. I don't even have a piece of bread for you. All I got is a little bit of meal. And the reason why I'm out here in the first place is because I'm getting two sticks to see if I can make a little bit of fire so I can go ahead and make this little cake and let me and my son eat it and we die. Now look how God provides. God used the poor widow who had nothing, no expectation except the hope to die after she ate. That's all she had. She hoped to die. She had no expectations beyond the next day. She was hoping that they would just go ahead and die whenever they eat of the bread. God sent the man of God to a hopeless woman to get help. That don't even sound right. But look at what happens here. He says, she says I'm just gonna go in there and get my little meal. And Elijah says, look, in verse 13, and he said to her, fear not. Don't be afraid. In other words, Jesus would have said, have faith. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake first and bring it unto me after that you can make for you and your son. Now, what Elijah was saying to her was, make me some hot water cornbread, a little piece, and bring it to me first. Now, Elijah, you're asking for water, and you're asking for bread, and you want to eat first, and you ain't my man. Just seeing if y'all was awake, because y'all look sleepy. You asking for too much now, but is too much for God? To sustain his word, his prophet had his word. And it was not too much for God that she was able to do this. Look, he said, don't worry about that. Now, who are you, Elijah, to tell me not to worry? I've been scrapping and scraping for as long as this famine has been since my husband and I've been scrapping and scraping. But you telling me don't worry. All of a sudden, things supposed to change? She was hopeless, thinking that nothing was going to change. But all of a sudden, her life was about to change. Now, the thing about this is that he went to her to be sustained, to be blessed. But because he was there, she was blessed and her whole house. Y'all don't hear me. What am I saying here? I'm saying that it was the word of God. The word of God promised to sustain Elijah. And so God looked for somebody else to bless so they can be a blessing. But then when you get your blessing, you don't want to bless nobody. So look at what he says here. He says, fear not, go and do it. And then verse 14, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He told her, he said, don't you worry. God got this. You just do what I tell you to do. Trust me. We have to learn how to trust what God is saying. We need to know that even if it's difficult, God said do it, we need to go ahead and perform it. Even if it seemed like it's a hard thing, that is happening at a hard time in your life, you need to trust God that God can work it out for your good. Even if it seems like nobody else is able to do this hard thing that God has asked you to do, it ain't nobody else doing it, that's okay. You go ahead and do it anyway. God is trying to separate you anyhow. He's separating the men from the boys. He's separating you from those that don't want to be blessed to make you blessed. I wish I had somebody. And sometimes God will not, and we got to stop looking around at everybody else to see what they're doing. And if they're doing it, we're going to run do it too. I'm not running to do what everybody else do, because I need a different kind of blessing. I need a different kind of anointing. I need a different word than what everybody else has. I need God to do something different in my life than what he's doing in everybody else's life. So I can't do what everybody else is doing. I must do the work of God. And so I need God to do something different. So he requires me to have a different faith. He requires me to have a different anointing. So he charges me with a different task. I wish I had somebody in the house. But we find out that God will provide, because the widow woman went in her house. And the Bible says in verse number 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. Do I have anybody here that said according to the word of God, that things are going to be what God said they're going to be? I know you had some doubts, but I'm telling you, God said he will. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I wish I had somebody. The Bible tells us that the word of God, he said he sent his word to prosper the thing where he sent it. We need to trust in the word. He said, my word shall not return void. He said, not one jot or tittle. What is a jot and a tittle? A tittle is what crosses the T. A jot is what dots an I. He said, before any of that be erased from my word, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass. Do I have anybody that said, I'm trusting in God's word? And if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Do I have anybody that said, God will provide? Will God provide for you? He's the source of my strength. He's the strength of my life. I wish I had somebody. We've been running from the devil. We've been running from our enemy. We've been trying to avoid people, but God says that he'll provide what we need. I heard Paul said it like this, my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Do I have anybody that said according to his riches, not according to what I got in the bank, not according to what they pay me an hour, but God said that he'll supply my need? Somebody shout yes and give God some praise. I'm so glad that David wrote it in the psalm when he said it in Psalm 23 that he'll provide for us. What will he provide? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I wish I had somebody. But notice what it was. He said it was a cruse of oil and it was bread. I wish I had somebody. Apparently she had enough water that she didn't have to have a brook, but all he needed was bread and oil. Somebody say yes. What are you saying, preacher? Bread is the word. All is the anointing. All I need is a word from God and the anointing of his Holy Spirit, that whatever I go through, the famine can't kill me, the enemy can't hunt me down. All I need is a word from the Lord and the anointing from God. Somebody say yes. Do you need the anointing? Somebody say, I need the anointing of God. And if I got the anointing, preacher, just give me a word. When I stand on his word, he'll make a way where there was no way. He'll open doors that's been closed in my face. He'll heal my body. Open blinded eyes. Unstop deaf ears. Won't he do it? I said, won't God do it? Won't he do it? Say yes here. All I need is a word. But I'm so glad that God sent his word in the face of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, because he was the word of of salvation. He came down to save me from sin, hell, death, and the grave. He died. Anybody know he died? But he was so anointed that he slipped into hell, set the captives free, slipped back into the grave, and slipped out of death, because early, he rose up early Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Anybody know it? Can you say yes? Can you say yes? Will you trust God's word when you can't trace him, when ain't nothing growing and ain't nothing going? Can you hold on to God's unchanging hand? Tell somebody, say, God will make a way. Somebody say yes. Tell your other neighbor, say, neighbor, I know you're in a famine. Oh, come on, shake your neighbor. They seem to be asleep. Say, neighbor, I got a feeling. I got a good feeling. I got a real good feeling and a sneaky suspicion that everything is going to be all right. Say, all right. Say, all right. Now round your head back and say, all right. Say, yeah. Say, yeah. Say, yes. Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? When I ain't got nothing, he supplies my need. He'll be my bridge over troubled water. He'll be my honey in the rock. He'll be my bread in a starving land. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Tell somebody, won't he, will he? And will he, won't he? Say yeah. Say yes. Say yes here. Tell somebody, it's time to go now. But before I go, I need to let you know, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing, I know, I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? If you know he's all right, won't you shout yes? Shout glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, I feel better. Anybody feel better? If you feel better, wave your hands and say, I feel better. So much better since I laid all my burden down. While you're trying to figure it out, God already worked it out. He already told a raven. He already provided a brook. He already told a widow. Somebody say yes. Glory be to God. I often wondered, I said, Lord, where did the widow get her meal? And where did the widow get her oil? God said, don't worry. Somebody gave it, but they gave enough with Elijah in mind. See, what I'm trying to tell you, don't worry about how much it is. Just know that God said, I'll give you enough, because he's the God of more than enough. If you have a need, God will provide. I told you what Paul said. My God will supply. Anybody know he will? Say yeah. If you need God to supply peace, he gave it to you. If you need God to give you joy, he already gave it. He said, I give you my joy, that your joy might be full. Say yeah. Say yeah. Glory be to God. We must. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. The whole purpose was to tell you that you got to trust his word. What God said. You may be in a famine right now. And our famines hit in different times. Somebody might be in a famine while other people...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968.